This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. When President Lyndon Johnson declared a war on poverty, the national media and the federal government sent swarms of photographers to the Appalachian region. They broadcast film footage and published photographs of extreme poverty in the coal fields of eastern Kentucky and southern West Virginia. It's no secret that parts of Appalachia often deal with some of the toughest statistics in the country, but the diversity is often overlooked. This week on Inside Appalachia, host Jessica Lilly will be taking a closer look at images of Appalachia and exploring why Appalachians feel so strongly about outside photographers visiting the region. She joins us this morning. Hello, Jessica.
Good morning, Beth.
Jessica, your show this week explores two events that have occurred this year that have sparked a lot of debate on social media. Tell us about these two events and why people feel so strongly.
The first event that really sparked debate happened in McDowell County. Back in March, two outside photographers, or that is photographers who weren't from the area, Marisha Camp and her brother Jesse, were traveling through the region. They stopped to talk to a group of children. Maybe they were taking photos of the children, but maybe they weren't. But either way, the parents in the neighborhood were outraged, and the police were called in to intervene. Nobody was hurt, but there was a lot of yelling, and the incident put Southern West Virginia in the national spotlight. And a lot of times, I think when things like this happen, we hear from other photographers or reporters, or pretty much people reacting to the situation in general. And we rarely hear from folks who've been in that kind of situation themselves. It seems people are quick to judge folks from places like McDowell County, Southern West Virginia, or Appalachia, for that matter. So we checked back in with a McDowell native who's been on Inside Appalachia before, Sabrina Schrader. As a person who's been in the national spotlight herself and is the self-proclaimed poster child of poverty, she shared some general thoughts on people taking pictures of the region.
I think that you're not understanding where these people are coming from, that you're not putting yourself in their situation. And apparently you must not understand what it means to be oppressed, what it means to have to work for something that is never yours, to live in coal camp houses that are not yours, and to have to pay for them, and to have to pay for things that coal mine owners owned. They own our mountains, they own our land, and they own our people. We have been slaves to rich people, to rich men.
So a lot of these strong feelings about outsiders in Appalachia comes from generation after generation of seeing these types of events occur over and over again.
And there was a recent photo essay that reignited some of these same events. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the other thing we're exploring is a recent photo essay in Vice magazine. A photographer named Bruce Gilden from New York City took the photos. He's known for having an aggressive, in-your-face kind of approach to the photography. He uses a lot of flash, and he takes photos really close to people, almost to startle them, it seems. The effect is that he produces these kinds of seemingly grotesque, bizarre images of people. He's done this type of photography all over the world. But when Appalachians saw what he'd captured, the main reaction was outrage. And on Inside Appalachia this week, we'll also talk with the local West Virginia poet, Crystal Good, talking about her initial reaction to these Vice photos.
When I look at these, that essay, and many, many others, I don't see my life represented there. There's some amazing photography yet to be discovered and found in Appalachia. It's not just this one thing happening. And that's why I think that the diversity of the photographs, you know, just like, yes, we have middle class folks. Yes, you know, I mean, in terms of, you know, extreme wealth, you know, would somebody please go up and get a photo of Don Blankenship's mansion, you know, like looking down on, you know, we have a diversity here. We have extreme poverty, but I guarantee we have extreme wealth.
So on the show, we'll hear from people with different backgrounds that have different fears and realities. Our fantastic producer, Roxy Todd, and I have tried to pull a lot of voices together so we can try to get a better understanding of this question of who gets to tell our story as Appalachians, why we're asking that question to begin with, and hearing from folks who suggest that maybe it's not necessary to ask the question at all.
Jessica Lilly is the host of Inside Appalachia. Jessica, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Beth.
You can subscribe to the Inside Appalachia podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and our website, wvpublic.org. The show airs Sunday mornings at 7 and Sunday evenings at 6 right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. This is West Virginia Morning at 7:49. Mostly sunny skies today. Highs in the 80s, mostly clear tonight, with lows in the 60s. And mostly sunny this weekend. Daytime highs in the 80s, overnight lows in the 60s.
Support for our weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com.
This summer, we've been checking in each week at the Augusta Heritage Center at Davis and Elkins College in Elkins. Each week has a different theme, and this week it's all about bluegrass music. Over 140 people have come from across the country to study with bluegrass masters. Andrew Carroll brings us this report about how a high school teacher from Wheeling is witnessing bluegrass in Augusta change the lives of students, young and old.
When Bob Trebanek first took a job as a teacher at Wheeling Park High School in 1993, he never imagined that his interest in bluegrass would take him and his students to countless festivals, including one in Japan, and to Augusta every summer. Trebanek first became interested in bluegrass because of the Wheeling Jamboree. The Wheeling Jamboree is a live radio program that has aired on Saturday nights since 1933 and is one of the oldest radio shows in the country. Trebanek remembers listening to the Wheeling Jamboree as a kid and was greatly impacted by what he heard.
You would hear, you know, the Stanley Brothers, Jim and Jesse on the radio in the morning, and we didn't know what it was, but there was something in my ear that I loved, the sound of a banjo. It was just... when you hear banjo, it just sounds...
When Trebanek realized how little his students knew about bluegrass, a genre that Wheeling played a huge role in shaping, he decided to do something about it. So he formed the Bluegrass Band as an after-school activity for students. In 1998, Trebanek brought his first group of students to Bluegrass Week at Augusta.
And we literally brought a group of students here and took back transformed students.
Trebanek does whatever he can to make the trip to Augusta accessible for all of his students. Besides camping out to make the trip more affordable, his students take advantage of Augusta's scholarship program.
Providing scholarship for youth in Bluegrass Week, and I'm sure the other weeks, has just been a godsend to students. And it's an eye-opening experience for them. And it's incredibly rewarding and humbling as a teacher to know that we have such a great resource here in West Virginia if people just knew what awaits them here.
Trebanek feels strongly that by design, Augusta provides a safe, meaningful, and quality learning experience for his students.
It's a situation that if you, as an educator, could sit down and design a beautiful program, this is it. For us to have a facility like Augusta with its heritage and the broad depth of the musical talent that comes in here year after year to teach these students, it's amazing.
Trebanek students report that one of the most enjoyable components of the program at Augusta is the community that invites all ages and skill levels to jam together.
Well, I love that I can jam with anybody. Everyone is so nice.
That's AJ Templeton. She plays the upright bass. It's her first time at Augusta.
I mean, I could just walk up to people playing and they would just help me out if I don't know the song they're playing at the moment, and I could just get right into it automatically.
That community is what Turbanic finds most valuable at Augusta. Within this community, music transcends generational gaps, and he says it creates a special space where young and old share knowledge and build respect and understanding.
These kids want to listen to what these older generation has to say because they have the knowledge that these young people want. And the older generation is immediately enamored with the younger generation because they see that what they know has value. And that's a dynamic that I've seen hundreds of times in settings that is just the most powerful thing that you can envision.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Andrew Carolyn Elkins.
The voices and music you heard there come from the Wheeling Park High School Bluegrass Band, playing during Bluegrass Week in Elkins. Next week, it's Old Time Week, American Vernacular Dance Week, and Vocal Week at the Augusta Heritage Center. Tune in next Friday or online, wvpublic.org, to learn more. The undisputed master of acoustic blues guitar, Chris Smithers' songwriting often draws on the influences of poets, folk singers, philosophers, and humorists. Now in his fifth decade of making music, Smither made his 13th appearance on Mountain Stage last year. Here he performs Get a Better One, recorded live on the campus of the North House Folk School in Minnesota. Chris Smither with our Mountain Stage Song of the Week.
Well, here, I'll play you a pathetic little ditty. Let me tell you about Linda Lou. She had a big head, she slept with a hat on. She had a big butt too. She kept me whole with a big heart. She went away, I fell apart. I'm all alone, I'm on my own. Let me tell you about Billie Jean. She had a filthy mind. She worked at the car wash, but she could not come clean. Long as I live, I'm gonna love her to death. She said she'd be back. I don't hold my breath. I'm all alone, I'm on my own. Now, I don't know why they get a look in their eye and they leave me. They think I don't know what's going on, but believe me, I know they're gone. Let me tell you about Betty Ray. She told me she needed a man. Money's nothing, but that's all she'd say. I couldn't get her to say I do, and now she's gone. The money too, I'm all alone, I'm on my own. I'm gonna find me a better one, one with one name who comes when I call her. We'll have a lot of fun. Be glad to see me when I get home. She'll wag her tail when I bring her bones. I ain't alone, I'm never on my own. I tell you, brother, we're gonna sit together in the evening. We're gonna stick together. We'll never, never think about leaving.
Chris Smither with Get a Better One. You can hear this song again and more music Saturday night at 8 on Mountain Stage right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. West Virginia Morning is produced with the assistance of Suzanne Higgins, Clark Davis, Jessica Lilly, Glynis Board, Dave Mistich, Roxy Todd, Liz McCormick, and Jesse Wright. Our theme music is by Matt Jackfert. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.